when he loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, that made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter, the first 10 verses represent our text. Listen now to the fifth. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior and the Lord of the Church, dearly beloved. St. Luke Evangelist. Rarely do I preach on a text in the third gospel without thinking about my sainted professor, Dr. Paul Brecher, who took us through this third gospel during our student days here. He very much loved the word, and he could get very excited about the most insignificant Chi Agenita. One of the things that he impressed upon us as we went through Luke was the fact that so often in this gospel we see Jesus kind of stepping aside from the multitude to deal with one individual who needed his comfort and his strength. Many of those stories that you have come to love so well are found only in St. Luke. The prodigal son who wasted his life and was embraced by the father. The woman in the home of Simon the Pharisee, rejected in the pride of that Pharisee, but forgiven and changed by our Lord. The two men who went up to the temple to pray, the Pharisee and the publican. And of course, here another story found only in St. Luke's Gospel. Jesus had just gone through the city of Jericho and had stepped aside from the multitude to give physical healing to a blind man. And now, once again, over the objection of the crowd, he brings spiritual life to Zacchaeus. The text presents for us the portrait of a man in a tree. We pray the Spirit of God's blessing upon both speaking and hearing. Zacchaeus is a little man. He wanted to see Jesus and could not because of his size and because of the size of the crowd that was following the Savior along the way, and so he climbed up into the tree. And as we part the foliage a little bit, we see a portrait, first of all, of a sinner. Why? Okay, he isn't. But Zacchaeus was a great sinner. He was a wealthy man who had gotten his wealth at the expense of others. Don't have to belabor the whole story of the publicans. You know how often the Bible talks about publicans and sinners. And Jesus links the two together in Matthew 18 when he speaks of a heathen man and a publican. Zacchaeus was the chief of the tax collectors in Jericho, a real plum, because he could charge far more than the Romans expected in the taxes and then pocket the difference. So that Zacchaeus, the sinner, is obvious. Whether he was a terrified sinner or not, we do not know. Behold, he stopped to see Jesus who he was. It may have been more than mere idle curiosity that led him up into that tree, and many have speculated about his spiritual life, whether he was extremely uneasy about his ill-gotten gain and the like. But as we look at this portrait of Zacchaeus, sinner, suddenly that portrait becomes a mirror. Because as we look into the holy law of God, we see ourselves as guilty as he. Did he break the law? So have we. Did he meet Jesus of Nazareth? So do we. Obviously say yes. How we need to be reminded of this spiritual attitude as we come each day into our chapel for the worship of the Most High God. Then we look at the portrait again and we see that he is the first. Faith is that he is. Faith is naked, perhaps, but faith is that he is. Yep, that's what it is. It because Jesus says, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Israel. That is, no priest can come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Anybody invites himself to our house, especially a perfect stranger, we consider that pretty bad manners. But you know, it was Jesus' love that dictated that self-invitation. As he led Zacchaeus to see what perhaps he had not been willing to admit even to himself, that he was a no good, a thief, and a thief. And then brought to him the message of forgiveness and salvation. So verse 10 says, this is why he has come. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. But he has accepted that salvation. The soul that he laid hold, came down, received him joyfully, and from his confession later on, we know that he must truly have become a real disciple of Jesus. But again, note that this happened over the objection of the crowd. The manners. And he said, be a little bit more careful about where he spends his time and the company that he keeps. When you get out into the ministry, how are you going to deal with the 20th century publicans and sinners? Supposing Jesus had stopped Gorbachev's limousine on his recent Paris visit and said, look there, get out of that car. Today I must spend at your hotel. And you would say, now, what is the matter with Jesus? Doesn't he know who this man is? You know that he's an avowed atheist, that he's head of a government that is based on intrigue and revolution, that has enslaved millions and butchered countless people? For me, Jesus, yes, for me, sinner, as he said that for you, but for the drunk down the street, the junkie, the radical feminist, Lord, preserve us from such pride and help us to see that without your grace and mercy we too would be lost. But help us to seek also those who are lost and to bring them to your cross. And then, of course, there is the final question, since you are sinners, saints, and servants. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Naturally, not done in an attempt to gain the favor of Jesus, but in response to the grace and mercy of Christ, for he died for all, you know, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That's how Zacchaeus changed his name also, Zacchaeus servant. He did not see it of all of us. We were not tax collectors, but certainly Christians. These lives have been transformed by this precious time. Today we're privileged to have with us the wonderful servants of God. These lives have been transformed by the gospel that the women of our Concordia Seminary did. For over 50 years, they have done so many wonderful things for our school and given a home-like touch to our campus on behalf of our students. In this past year, they've contributed $10,000 and more to draperies and carpets and TVs and all kinds of things, including also assistance for our adopted student program. We thank God for you, dear ladies of the church, and pray that your rally day and your hours on campus today will truly be blessed. What about all of us? Isn't it a blessed thing? But we are privileged also to be engaged in such blessed work. Is it true enough that those works abound in our attitude, in our relationship to one another, in the way in which we go about our studies? And is it true that all things are passed away, the lying and the gossip and the works of the flesh among us? Zacchaeus did not think that his faith was something that could be wrapped in cellophane and put on the shelf in the tax collector's office for everyone to admire. Something to be stuffed in a can and sealed against the great and glorious day of God's judgment. For us too, it is a thing that is to shine forth so that we may glorify God and our Father in heaven. Today, we come thank God for the evangelists, the prophets, the apostles who have brought to us the word of truth. Thank God for what this is. Sinners, saints, and servants. Above all, we thank our dear Father in heaven who did not spare his only Son, that one whom to know is to love, and whom to love is to serve.